You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
We've all heard the adage that the eyes are the windows to the soul. Another saying that pet owners should take to heart is a pet's oral health is the gateway to its body-wide well-being. I know it's not as catchy, but bad teeth and gums can be a source of pain and insidiously lead to diseases that can shorten your pet's lifespan. And who wants to be kissed by a cat with tuna breath or a hound with halitosis? Orange County, California veterinarian Eric Van Ice, a diplomate of the American Veterinary Dental College, will discuss general pet dental care and the newest techniques available to take a bite out of dental disease. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
At Petco, we really love pets. There isn't anything we won't do to make sure they're getting the best products and the best care. So when you ask us a question like,
so how do you feel about cat condos?
We can say from experience,
feels like home for her.
Enter the code DOCTOR10, DOCTOR, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
Celebrate your special occasion and give her this classic semi-eternity band created with 1-carat brilliant diamonds, channel set in 14-carat white gold. Exclusively yours from ICE.com. Free shipping over $150, free returns, and 30-day money-back guarantee.
Go to ICE.com and use promo code ACTFP and get 20% off your purchase. Or use promo code ADTFP and get 20% off at Diamond.com. ICE.com or Diamond.com. Get 20% off from Pet Life Radio.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience?
We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds.
InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service.
We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit PetLifeRadio.com. Click on sponsorship information.
There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed or email us at
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
This year, Americans are expected to spend a jaw-dropping $36 billion on their pets. From lighted leashes to high-end spa products, the discriminating pet owner can find just about anything to pamper his or her pet. Hi, this is Michelle Fern. Join me every week for Best Bets for Pets, where we'll talk about the latest pet products and talk to the companies that make them. Best Bets for Pets, every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Van Ice, thank you for being with us because February is National Pet Dental Health Month. So thank you.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Dr. Cruz.
Well, first of all, how common is dental disease? Because I know a lot of clients come in and say, hey, I've had pets for years. I've never had their teeth cleaned. So why are you telling me it needs to be done now? Is it really all that common?
Isn't that something? I think it's the most common disease that there is. You know,
you might be prejudiced.
Well, I could be. There's some studies that say up to 80% of the pets that come to see us have some form of dental disease, usually some form of gum disease.
So you're saying that's a huge number, and people say, well, my pet's eating just fine. If it had a dental problem, wouldn't I know? Wouldn't it want to stop eating?
Yeah, isn't that true? You wish that if they had a problem that they would bring it to your attention, but they really don't have the ability to do that. So the signs of dental disease might be a bad breath or maybe a swelling in the jaw if there's an abscess, but most of the dental disease, including the gum disease, the pets don't have any signs at all, and that's why they need to be checked out by a veterinarian on a regular basis.
If I have a pet at home and I'm trying to decide, okay, well, it's been 6-7 months since I last saw the vet. The pet's really feeling pretty good. What can I do to look in a pet's mouth to see, and what would I look for? Because most people lift up the lips in front and go, yep, those little teeth in there, they look pretty good. It's fine.
It's a shame, isn't it, that most of the disease in a pet's mouth is hidden, and so we can't see it even with the best of our intentions. It's good that you feel around the mouth and look back there, but most of the problems, the deep pockets and the abscesses and the pain and infection is underneath the gum line where we just can't see it that way.
So you're looking in the pet's mouth and the gums don't look kind of red and inflamed. The teeth, maybe they need some Crest White strips. Are there other things that you can look for? Again, because it seems like, wow, I'm giving my pet special food that's supposed to, or those special treats, and that's supposed to keep the teeth under control, or it was just cleaned. This is my favorite. I just had my pet's teeth cleaned 2 years ago. Why does it need to have it again?
Isn't that something? Even the reason that gums get gingivitis, or the reason that the gums get infected and the bone starts melting away from the tooth sockets, is the bacteria in the plaque. So even if you have a complete cleaning, a scale and a polish, and everything's back to completely clean, that plaque layer forms again in about 3 hours. And if you let it sit there undisturbed for about 3 days, it accumulates the minerals from the saliva and it turns into tartar, that kind of coral reef stuff that's stuck to the teeth. And so that's the reason that you want to brush on a regular basis.
But we watch TV, we listen to commercials, and they say, oh, if you feed this kind of doggy treat, it's going to make your teeth just sparkle and bright and everything's perfect. Or there's a lot of commercial pet foods that are out there and say, oh, special ingredients to keep tartar under control. Is this really just a lot of hype?
Well, they do. There are a lot of products that do reduce plaque and reduce tartar. They reduce it by a little bit. For instance, the diets that you're talking about are designed to be used as an exclusive diet. That is, that's all you feed your pet. And even then, it only reduces the plaque and the tartar by a small percentage. And so most people aren't using those products in that way. They use them as a treat. So it's very much as if you went to your own dentist and said, what am I supposed to do to take care of my teeth and gums? Your dentist says, brush every day forever, floss, come see me every 6 months, whether my teeth look like they need cleaning or not. They don't tell you to go and buy a box of Greenies or chew on a Nylabone or something. Or
put, you mean I'm supposed to throw away my Nylabone? I like
don't
that.
Don't you wish? I wish it was that way. So those products do help a little bit, but they're just no substitute for brushing. Brushing is all the prevention that is the most important prevention in dentistry.
You were talking about plaque, you know, initially that biofilm, the slime that builds up in 3 hours. What makes up that slime? Because people say, okay, does it build up that quickly in me? You know, why is it building up that quickly in my pet?
Yeah, it does build up that quickly. It's a normal substance in your mouth. It's supposed to be there. It's just if you let it sit there undisturbed, it can cause inflammation, and then your immune system reacts to it and starts to destroy your gums and your bones. So it is perfectly normal. It is made up of the normal bacteria in your mouth and the skin cells that are turned over in your mouth and the saliva and some of the food particles. It gets nastier if you don't brush it off. It gets to an anaerobic environment where it grows some really bad invasive pathogenic bacteria that really cause the destruction. So we'd much rather be preventing that problem rather than dealing with it after it's established.
You were talking about the nasty bacteria, the anaerobic ones, the ones that don't like a lot of oxygen. I know there are now vaccines, at least for dogs, that are supposed to help immunize the mouth against some of those pathogenic bacteria, the bad bugs. What's your impression about that vaccine?
Yeah, that vaccine sounds like something that ought to be a good idea. And it's been shown to be very safe in dogs now. It hasn't been shown to do much of anything in cats. I don't think they've studied it in cats or other species. But in dogs, it's safe. Some of the dogs get kind of sore if you vaccinate them for a day or two, but it's not hurting anything. And it seems like it ought to prevent the extension of infections down into the gums and the bone. They've actually done studies around the world to figure out which of these bacteria need to be protected against. But because periodontal disease and the plaque bacteria are such a long-term problem and the problems build up over years and years, it makes it almost impossible for the vaccine companies to run a controlled study for that long and prove to us that it really does prevent from periodontal bone loss. So what they have, and this is a Pfizer product, and I think it's a good product, they have shown that it's safe, they have shown that it seems like it ought to work, and then they've brought it to market for us to try out. It's been a few years, and I really think the jury is still out. I don't know of anybody who really believes that it's shown a significant improvement, although I'm not really sure how we would know. How would you compare the dogs that you didn't vaccinate versus the ones you did? It's hard to know.
So at least you can say that it doesn't hurt the pet. How much is going to help, who knows, but it's an adjunct, something that you can add to your armamentarium to keep dental disease under control.
Absolutely. It sounds like it's something that ought to work, and we're pretty sure it doesn't hurt anything. So because it's such a common disease, it makes sense to do everything you can.
One of the common things that I'll hear from clients is I'll tell them, well, you need to brush your pet's teeth, you know, more often. We'll talk about how frequently and how to do it. And then they'll give me this look, well, when I take my dog to the groomer to be groomed, you know, they charge me $5 and they brushed my dog's teeth there. So why do I need to do it more often?
Yeah, well, I think that's great that the groomers are helping people brush teeth, because brush teeth is really the most important thing you can do. The problem is that if you do it less often than once every 3 days, the undisturbed slime layer mineralizes and it turns into tartar or calculus, and that cannot be removed by brushing. Brushing is purely a preventative way of removing that slime layer every darn day.
I personally build up tartar like crazy. So I brush, I floss, I use the electronic toothbrush. But there are some times when I kind of been bad. And then I know I need to go see my hygienist and she's going to slap my hand and tell me, you haven't been flossing as much, have you, Bernadine? So I know that, yep, getting in there on a daily basis is so important. So for our pets, you can maybe slide every 3 days. Or should we do it on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think we probably tell people to do it every day, hoping that they'll do it every 2 to 3 days. But doing it twice a week is probably not enough, unfortunately.
Okay, so brushing teeth. How do you do it? A lot of people are listening to you going, uh-huh, sure. I love to do it, but I have a pug, or I have a little short-nosed dog, or a cat that looks at me and just sees the toothbrush and runs the other way. How do you get the baby used to this, and how do you get that older pet used to brushing its teeth?
Yeah, there are two parts to this. One is making it a routine in your life, just like exercise or anything else that you need to do on a regular basis. And the other part is physically getting the job done. So I can tell you what we do at our house is that, just like potty training, when we used to take the puppies out in the area that we wanted them to go potty, and we'd say, you know, silly things like, Katie, go potty, Katie, go potty. And she gives you that dumb look until she finally goes potty by random chance, and then she links that together. So we link this at our house with toothbrushing time in the evening. We tell the dogs when we're in the bathroom in the evening, when it's toothbrushing time, we start saying, you know, doggies brush teeth, doggies brush teeth. And at first they don't know what you're talking about, but eventually they get to learn that's a fun time. It's a social time where they get some attention and some play, and they really look forward to it. So getting it as a habit as a puppy is a really important thing. As far as mechanically getting the toothbrushing done, well, we already talked about the bad news. The bad news is you have to do it every day forever. But the good news is it's not as hard as you might think. I don't ask people to actually open the pet's mouth. Just leave the mouth closed and take a finger on each side one at a time and lift that upper lip and slide that little tiny soft toothbrush with that edible dog toothpaste all the way to the back on the top where they accumulate the tartar the worst. And just spend 15 seconds or so back and forth just trying to disturb that slime layer. Again, we're not trying to scrub the teeth clean. We're not trying to remove tartar that's already on there. We just want to remove that, disturb that slime layer every day so it doesn't get a chance to sit on there. So it's probably only 15 seconds on each side and then bonus points for the front teeth. But leaving the mouth closed and not worrying about the inside surfaces seems to be helpful to most people.
Now, that sounds pretty easy to do. I was just looking online before getting on with you, and this one veterinary site had a toothbrush with bristles on both sides and one on the bottom, and I'm going, and how are you supposed to get this around a pet's tooth? So you don't have to do it that aggressively, it sounds like.
Well, that's nice. We just end up at our house using a small child soft toothbrush, not a hard bristle one. Not anything fancy, because, again, all we're trying to do is disturb that slime layer. We're not trying to scrub those teeth surfaces clean.
What if you have a chihuahua with one of those itty-bitty little mouths, and that toothbrush is like this huge device? What are some other alternatives?
Isn't that something? Well, they do sell cat toothbrushes, which look to me, for all the world, like those little brushes that you use to clean typewriter keys. It's just little tufts on the end of them. And you can usually fit those in there. And you mentioned chihuahuas, and that's one of the small breeds that has much more than its share of gum disease, along with, you know, silkies and Malteses and miniature poodles. They have these huge teeth, and they don't have much bone to start with. So if you have a small breed dog like a chihuahua, it's doubly important to get them in the habit early of brushing those teeth and go see your veterinarian for an exam and cleanings periodically, too.
And why is it, I have friends that have never seen a dentist, it seems like. They don't have a cavity in their mouth. They eat junk. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm the person who brushes, flosses, and from the time that I was little, I've had cavities like, at least now I'm better, I don't have cavities. But why do some pets never seem to build up tartar on their teeth? And there's some, you just see them as that one-year-old puppy or kitten, and there's that tartar buildup like crazy. Why
it's
the difference?
It's not fair, is it?
No, it's not.
It's the same as people. It's just like what you say. Some members of the family just don't have those problems, and the rest of us end up having to see the dentist more often than we want to. I think in the older pets, it's often that they have reduced saliva, so they have a dry mouth, and they accumulate the plaque and the tartar faster because of that. But within individuals, the same type of dog, the same kind of breed, the same age, some of them have problems, some of them don't, and the same for cats. What I think, and this is just my speculation, I think it has everything to do with how your immune system reacts to the ordinary plaque in your teeth. You know, the plaque in your teeth is something that kind of sort of belongs there, and your immune system's kind of sort of supposed to put up with it to a degree. And in these patients that have such tremendous inflammation and loss of gums and loss of bone support, their own immune system is overreacting to the ordinary plaque, and it's the antibodies and the white blood cells, it's the patient's own immune system that's doing the damage. So I think that's a big difference between individuals.
So they have their own vaccine, so to speak, built into their bodies.
They do.
We're chatting right now with Dr. Eric Van Nuys. He is a UC Davis graduate, and he is now the only board-certified veterinary dentist in Orange County, California. So I know I've used him frequently for clients that come in and need some special care. So we're just going to take a short break, come back, and then Dr. Van Nuys is going to tell us what a typical routine dental prophy is going to be for your pet at your veterinarian's office. We'll be right back and find out when you need to go see someone like Dr. Van Nuys. Stay tuned.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Love your pets but wish their medications were a lot less expensive? They are at 1-800-PETMEDS. You'll not only save on flea and heartworm medications, but on prescriptions for arthritis, incontinence, thyroid, and more. And you get fast service, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, our licensed pharmacists ensure accuracy, monitor drug interaction, and more. See why over 5 million people have trusted their pet's health to 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. Call now or order online.
Go to PetMeds.com/doctor, D-O-C-T-O-R, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more at PetMeds.com.
FTD's network of over 40,000 florists around the world have been creating beautiful handcrafted arrangements for 100 years. Each arrangement is delivered the same day and backed by FTD's 7-day satisfaction guarantee. For a century, people have trusted their most important occasions to the flower experts at FTD.
Since Pet Life Radio is all about puppy dogs and flowers, our listeners, that's you, can get a 20% discount on your order. Just go to florop.com and use the code DR20 at checkout. FLEUROP.com, code word DOCTOR and the number 20.
There's a movement afoot. ShoeBuy.com. Join the millions of people who shop ShoeBuy.com's over 400 brands and 500,000 products. Order now and get free shipping and free return shipping. ShoeBuy.com, the world's greatest shoe store.
Walk your dog in style and comfort. Enter the code DOCTOR, D-O-C-T-O-R, at checkout and get a 10% discount plus free shipping at ShoeBuy.com.
How would you like your business to reach out and invite in our audience? We have a brand new trademark concept called InfoSeeds. InfoSeeds are short 20-second seeds of information about your place of business, practice, or service. It's the best, most cost-effective way to invite us in. We only have a limited number of slots left. For more information, visit the website
PetLifeRadio.com.
Click on sponsorship information. There you can listen to a sample of InfoSeed. Remember, only a limited number of opportunities are available.
Hi, this is Tim Link, host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Join me as we feature interviews with best-selling pet-related authors, award-winning writers, journalists, and bloggers. And we'll tell stories about the animals and interesting topics about the animals in our lives. Each of the interviews will give you a first-hand knowledge about why the authors and writers chose a particular story, what the feature animals meant to them, and what has become of those animals that we've talked about. And of course, I'll also share stories from my own books, blogs, articles, and experiences. So be sure to join me and the writers and authors on Animal Rights.
Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Okay, Dr. Van Nuys. Pet's going to be coming into you or to their regular veterinarian for a routine dental cleaning. Now, we're going to say they have to go under anesthesia majority of the time, and people go, ooh, I don't like anesthesia. I know I can go to my groomers, and they have a non-anesthetic dentistry. Tell us the pros and cons of that non-anesthetic dentistry done at the groomers.
Yeah, well, we all wish that we could do a really good job of cleaning a pet's teeth and examining what's going on in their mouth without anesthesia. We would all prefer that. But the fact is that we really can't do a good job. We can kind of sort of do a half-baked job, especially if we give a little bit of sedative, if we cheat a little bit and call it non-anesthetic, but then give them a sedative on top of that. But what we really need to do under anesthesia is we need to walk around each one of their teeth. That's 42 teeth in a dog, and it's 30 in an adult cat. Walk around each one of those teeth with a little explorer and a periodontal probe, and that's what should happen at your periodontist or dentist too, and take measurements of how much of the gum has melted away on which side of the tooth. We need to see if they're loose. We need to see if they're chipped or discolored. We look at the gums to see if they bleed easily or if there are little lumps and bumps. And often we need to take some x-rays because, as we talked about earlier, most of the disease is hidden below the gum line where we can't see it with our eyes. So that's really why we end up using anesthesia. When people have a non-anesthetic cleaning, what's happening is that they're having the plaque and the tartar scraped away from the visible outside surfaces of the teeth. And while that is of some cosmetic benefit, I agree, it really looks pretty good when they get done, they may be missing the most important point of having the examination, and that is there may be some hidden disease. And it would be a shame to clean the pet's teeth up cosmetically and overlook the pain and the infection of the hidden disease.
I've had clients who've brought in a pet, and I'm looking at the teeth because they're saying, oh, there's this funny little swelling underneath its eye, or the pet doesn't want to eat. And I'll look in the mouth, oh, these teeth just look spectacular. They're shiny, they're bright, there's no tartar. And looking at the gum, especially above some of the larger teeth in the back of the mouth, and there's a swelling going, wow, this looks like it should be a tooth root abscess, but you know, the teeth look so beautiful. Oh, yeah, yeah. I had them cleaned at, you know, my groomers, and it was done by so-and-so. And, you know, I've had it done for years, and all my friends have their pet's teeth done that way also. And too many times, you're exactly right, Dr. Van Nuys, that here is a tooth root abscess that was not caught, that they had no idea that was going on. And maybe you can make mention, I'm not sure in other states, you and I being in California, for somebody not under the direct supervision of a veterinarian, doing a non-anesthetic dentistry is against the law.
It's my understanding that if you're going to use an instrument, that that's considered a surgical procedure, and it has to be done under the direct supervision of a licensed veterinarian. I'm sure it varies from state to state, but that's my understanding around here.
And I know there's been just some horror stories about, you know, trying to clean a pet's teeth and a jaw gets broken or the pet gets hurt. And that's always so sad because the owner was trying to do the right thing of getting those pet's teeth cleaned.
So what a shame to have an injury result. And it's just what you say. It's everybody has the best intentions here. But, boy, we don't want the patient getting hurt. We don't want the operator getting hurt. And we want people to find the hidden disease. In humans, they have the same issue. The human dental hygienists call it, it's a bad term, they call it cleaning disease. That means that they're scraping away the visible plaque and tartar, but they're missing the disease. Really, the point of cleaning the teeth is to find any hidden disease, bring it to the attention of the pet's owner, recommend appropriate treatment, and then see it through, rather than just fluff and buff.
You're speaking of hidden diseases. I know that in my introduction that I was saying that if you don't clean your pet's teeth, that it can lead very insidiously to other diseases in the body and really shorten your pet's life. I'd love to have you address that. So the bugs in the mouth, I tell people, are supposed to go from your mouth to your bum. But when you start getting dental disease, that bacteria now can go into the bloodstream and go to other places of the body. So please, tell us more about what these other problems can be from just dental disease.
That's a good way to put it. Your bacteria is supposed to go from mouth to bum. I'm going to remember that one. You know, this is an ongoing controversy in human dentistry and human medicine, and now veterinary dentistry and veterinary medicine is following along too. I think 10 to 15 years ago, we were telling people that the bacteria from uncleaned gums were getting into your heart valves and getting into the liver and the organs that filter the bacteria out. And there was evidence for that. They could actually culture the plaque off of your carotid arteries, and with a DNA probe, they could show you that was the same bacteria that was growing in your gums. They've kind of reversed course with this, and now they think that these are concurrent inflammatory conditions with bacteria, not necessarily cause and effect. So I think we're more confused about it. It's one of those deals, the more you know it, the less you know kind of thing. But it's still, dental disease still deserves to be identified and treated in and of itself because it's pain and infection too.
You just brought up now heart disease. Many times, I think we're all very fortunate now in veterinary medicine. People are taking such marvelous care of their pets. The advances that we have in veterinary medicine are allowing our pets to live longer. So now we have that kitty that comes in who's 16 years old. You look in the mouth going, oh, it needs to have its teeth cleaned, but you're 16 and maybe you have a heart murmur going on, or the kidneys aren't as strong as they're supposed to be, putting these pets under anesthesia just gives you, your heart attack of yourself of trying to control them. Do you say, no, you can't do it because you're older, you have a heart murmur?
Boy, and that, I really feel for those people because I understand that this is the kind of patient we would all love to be able to treat without anesthesia, but it's the exact patient that you shouldn't do it that way because it's got so much disease in there. You can't just clean the disease. So if you're going to do it, you do need to do it under anesthesia. And fortunately, most of those pets that have a little bit of heart problem or a kidney problem, most of them are going to do okay under anesthesia. There's a big difference between a heart murmur that's just kind of a leaky valve sound, but that pet's doing fine. It's a big difference between that and actual heart failure where the heart is no longer able to pump well. And as soon as you anesthetize that pet, well, it may get fluid in the chest or something. So really the modern anesthetic agents that your veterinarian uses are mostly very short acting and very reversible and that's important. More important than that is that the veterinary teams now have been trained to monitor and support their patients better. That is, they keep track of the oxygen that's going in, and they measure the carbon dioxide that's coming out as they breathe. They measure the blood pressure, which was unheard of when I graduated, and it wasn't that long ago. We monitor the patient's temperature, because if they get cold, that's when they don't wake up so fast. And we support them with IV fluids, we're able to react if something's not going well. So modern agents and support and monitoring, almost all the time, we can anesthetize those patients safely and take care of what needs to be taken care of.
I totally concur with you. Yes, the mature pet is one that, we'll watch all of them closely, but especially those seniors, take extra, extra close vigilance with them and tell people, both of us didn't like doing this procedure. It was something that had to be done. Now the onus is on you. If you don't want me to have to do it again real soon, make sure that you're brushing your pet's teeth at home. So it puts responsibility where it needs to be.
That's true. And don't those people tell you, boy, I wish I had done this 3 years ago when my dog was 12 instead of 15?
Yep. So maybe their next pet around.
Yep.
One of the reasons why I know people will send referrals to you, veterinarians will send cases to you, is there are some procedures that you can do that I would not even want to think about. Doing things like root canals and doing implants and braces. I know you have a business, so people are sending it to you, but tell us some of the things that you can do that the typical veterinarian, such as myself, refers. Why do people refer to you?
Yeah, well, most veterinarians in general practice are really good at doing a very wide variety of things. It's just that every once in a while they run into something that's not in their comfort zone. So if somebody wants us to do, say there's a broken tooth and the owner would like to save the tooth rather than have it extracted, we can often save a broken tooth with a root canal procedure, maybe put a crown on there so that it doesn't break again. You mentioned braces, too, which sounds kind of silly, but we actually had a patient in just a couple hours ago. We were trying one of those little Invisalign retainers to try to keep its teeth where we wanted them, and that dog was actually doing pretty well with that.
Do they have to use rubber bands?
We could put rubber bands and springs and wires in there, but, boy, our patients don't like it. So most of the time we try to think of simpler options, little acrylic ramps or even just selected extractions to keep a tooth from banging into another tooth. In humans, certainly we put braces on because we want to have that movie star smile, but in veterinary patients, we generally do orthodontic movements so that their teeth aren't banging into each other or their teeth aren't biting their lips or they're poking into their palate every time they close their mouth. We don't really care about the cosmetics, but we do care if they're uncomfortable every time they close their mouth.
One of the things that I see you're talking about, teeth banging into each other, I know it can be any breed of pet, any species, any breed of dog or cat, but it seems at times the smaller pets, they're trying to hold on to their youth, and you open their mouth going, oh, look, they still have baby teeth, these deciduous teeth. How common is that?
All the baby teeth, isn't that something? Well, it seems to run in breeds, doesn't it? The little silkies and Yorkies and Malteses will hold on to their baby teeth too long. It seems to be a pretty common thing. Have you seen those little 3-pound Yorkies, 2.5, 3-pound Yorkies that have every single baby tooth and they've got every single adult tooth in there too? You know, a lot of those turn out to have either a liver shunt or microvascular dysplasia, and I'm no internal medicine expert, so I turn that over to them, but it just seems to be a marker of other disease going on sometimes. The reason we care about retained deciduous teeth in dogs and cats is that it forces the adult teeth into abnormal locations where they may cause trouble, and it also crowds against the adult teeth so that the adult teeth don't get the full benefit of that bony tooth socket. So as soon as that's recognized, we want people to be extracting those extra baby teeth, get them out of there.
So you shouldn't just give them time to lose their own baby teeth on their own. So say after 6 months of age, if those deciduous teeth are still there, it's time to come out?
Yeah, and a dog, if there's a deciduous tooth occupying the same spot as the adult tooth, then the baby tooth needs to go. I think there's an exception. I believe there's an exception in cats, and that is the upper canines. Persistent deciduous upper canines in cats seem to take care of themselves most of the time. I don't know if everybody agrees with me, but that's just been my observation.
And speaking of kitties, I know we used to call them cavities, and you'll get these funny little lesions right at the gum line, and you can tell they're exquisitely painful because even a cat under anesthesia, if you probe it, their little jaws just tend to chatter. Feline resorptive lesions. What are your views, causes, and treatment for these kitty cavities?
Yeah, boy, that's one of those conditions that makes us feel really stupid because we don't understand what's going on with that. It's like a bone remodeling process where your bones are sending out these cells that dissolve the tooth and then put new bone in where it used to be, kind of like fracture healing. So we used to call them cavities, and we used to drill them and fill them, and we found that the tooth continued to crumble away under our pretty filling. So we don't waste people's time and money with that anymore. The current theory, at least a few years ago, the current theory was there was too much vitamin D in the cat foods, but that has not held up to further studies. We really don't know what's going on. Something has changed since about the 1960s and 1970s when this problem became just rampant, because prior to that it was hardly ever seen. So we speculate that when we all changed the cat's food so they didn't get feline urological syndrome, or whatever they're calling it this year, we acidified their diet and we reduced the magnesium so that their urine would have a different composition. And just on the surface of it, that sounds like a prescription for changing the mineral content of your teeth too. So I don't know if that was pure coincidence, but I certainly know that there's lots of pet food companies searching for the answer for that, and they have been for at least 15 years that I know of, because they all want to come first to market with Purina Resorption Chow, so they can be the ones who are fixing the problem rather than the ones that caused the problem. So we don't understand what causes that. All that we're left to do is, as you describe, when you find one in the mouth and it's got a pulp exposure and it's painful, you just have to extract that tooth. Let it heal up. And of course, us veterinarians, we hate that because those teeth crumble apart and we cuss and we throw our instruments. I just got done doing that about an hour ago, so it's fresh in my memory, Dr. Cruz.
You've watched me doing dentistries, yes. It's like, I sound like a truck driver sometimes.
Yeah, you're not a Lone Ranger there.
Yes. Now, speaking of diets, that is something I would like to have your input. What is typically best for a pet? Canned food, does it smoosh on the teeth and cause more of a biofilm? Dry food, is that going to be better? Is it different for a cat or a dog?
Yeah, I have seen studies both ways on that. Of course, it makes more sense just thinking about it that the dry food would scrape off the plaque and the tartar, and that used to be what we tell people, and then I saw some study come along that said that was a bunch of baloney. But there are many pet foods out there now that do have a label claim for reducing plaque and tartar. Some of them have mechanical systems where as the pet chews through the biscuit, it has these little fibers that are oriented in such a direction that it scrapes the teeth. Other ones have chemical additives that reduce the plaque's ability to stick. As we talked about, they don't help as much as brushing, but they do help somewhat. So I like to choose one of those bags that says plaque control or tartar control and use that as much of the diet as I can.
And then brush.
And brush every day, forever.
Okay, I'm going to have to convince my kitties about that one because I'm definitely not the super compliant owner. Okay, we've been talking about cats and dogs, and I have a feeling that is what you see most of the time. But what other fun things come through your door as being the veterinary dentist?
Well, you're right. Almost everything we do is dogs and cats. But we do see the occasional, you know, ferret. They have teeth very much like cats. They have the same sort of problem as cats. We see the occasional bunny rabbit or chinchilla. They get a lot of gum disease and tooth abscesses. And every once in a while, we get a big cat. Now, Dr. Weldy will bring us over one of the big, large cats. I don't even know if it's a leopard or a jaguar from local parks. And one time, we had Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus bring us a 350-pound Bengal tiger.
So oh, my goodness.
Exciting for that day.
Well, next time you have one of those, we'll have to put out the news and people can at least be in the parking lot and go, ooh, look at that, look at that.
Yeah, that was the nervous part of it, was everybody wanted to be here. And, of course, the circus staff wanted everybody to go away because if the kitty cat wakes up and starts running around, it could be a real problem. So that was a nervous day, but we have pretty pictures from that day.
I love it. Well, Dr. Eric Van Eyes, thank you for all the information you've given us today on how to keep your pet's teeth as healthy as possible, keeping its body as healthy as possible, and keeping the owner's medical expenses then under control because you've taken good care of the teeth. I do appreciate your help today.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, Dr. Cruz, and good luck brushing your kitty cat's teeth. I hope they see it your way and my way.
I will hope so also. So thank you everyone who's been listening today to The Pet Doctor. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Please listen again next week and we'll try and give you more information to make you the best possible pet owner that you can be. So thank you for listening. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.